All right, brothers and sisters, tonight we're going to begin the study of Thessalonians. And this is Brother Paul's sweet letter to the Church of the Thessalonians. And it's not just the Church of the Thessalonians, it's the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll touch on such a precious meaning of that, I believe, this evening and a little bit later. But this is thought to be the very first letter that the Lord ever had Brother Paul write. And I think one thing to note here is the Lord was bringing this study to me, is that this was written somewhere between 13 to 15 years after he was converted on the road to Damascus. 13 to 15 years after he had taken the Lord and Savior as his personal Savior. And I guess what really strikes me about that is how cavalier and ignorant the church, and I'm talking about the Christian church, has become to think that, almost immediately upon accepting Christ Jesus as Savior, somehow we're qualified or that we're ready to go into the missionary field or that we're ready to be ministers. Now remember, he's the one that calls us. And I've spoken to some young people that have a desire to go into the ministry, and I think that's wonderful to have a heart for God. But remember, he's the one that calls you. He has to call you. You won't have the anointing by the grace of God. And he's the one. And I do think that people often get confused. The more and more the Lord has me in contact sometimes with different of my brothers and sisters in Christ, but very much so doing instead of letting, and going instead of waiting upon the Lord. And brothers and sisters, we need that in our individual lives, because we do have, each one of us have a ministry. We have a testimony. It might be just to your family and your household. I believe it's further reaching than that. I think it goes into your work, the people that you meet, whether it's at the grocery store or in your everyday lives. I want them to see Christ in me. I want them to notice that there is a different. Now, as the Spirit gives me utterance, that might be something else. But the conduct of faith in our lives, and we're going to read this about these sweet brothers and sisters in the Church of Thessalonica, what a testimony of faith and love and the grace of God that was in their lives, and is magnificent. But realize here too that in that same thought, 10 years, day and night study pretty much for Brother Paul. 10 years before he ever went on his first missionary journey. I mean, can you imagine that? And the audacity to think that, you know, we are just, you know, ready to roll. I think that old Moses, you know, he had 40 years growing up there. And we've talked about it before. And I'm sure he was thinking, well, I'm ready now, Lord. I'm ready to do what you want me to do. And the Lord knew what he was ready to do. He was ready to go tend sheep for another 40 years before the Lord was ready to use him in the way that he thought he needed to be used. Are we really after God's best in our life? See, that's the thing. Are we willing to wait upon the Lord? Are we willing to be patient and to take the place in the body, brothers and sisters, that God has called us to take? And it's a precious thing. And the transformation into the mature sons of God can actually happen very quickly. And I think with this young church, these Thessalonians, that's what's so exciting about them. They took it and ran with it. They believed God. They were satisfied with his word. And it's very precious. Think this is, again, the very first letter that Paul had written. So as we go on, I hope that we would remember that they that wait upon the Lord, as the Word of God says, shall renew their strength. As it goes on to say, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run, not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now that's the testimony I want to have. How about you? That's the ministry by the grace of God I want to be able to take. That's the salve and the honey that will be with you as you go forth to give out the Word of God. Now, let's talk a little bit about this Thessalonica, this city. It was a wealthy trade center. It was a port city that supplied Rome with much of their goods. And I think that's important to understand here is this was a very cosmopolitan place. There was a lot of, the think tank was there. They had the, if you want to say, the latest and greatest of things. So this wasn't just going into poverty-stricken places or something of that nature. It was reaching into that place. And by the grace of God, I kind of think of Denver. I think of the United States and how God, in His infinite mercy and grace, continues to reach forth into this country. But it seems that we're turning away from Him more and more as well, too. But there's still our people that are getting ready. He hasn't come yet, so He is obviously preparing those that are looking for Him to come. And this was such a wonderful type that we're going to read about with these wonderful saints. And it was Paul and Silas, as we're going to read here, that came to plant and water. Timothy was also along with them went a little bit later. But it was Silas, and this was Paul's faithful companion in the first missionary journey. This was in his second missionary journey that he went into Thessalonica. Barnabas was with him. And remember, Barnabas and Paul had that great parting asunder, as it says, and they went their different ways. And sweet Silas, God had a heart there that was a faithful minister and one that was helpful to Brother Paul. And as we get into this wonderful letter, you'll notice that most of the letters that Paul writes, it's I, Paul, or Paul, apostle, Paul called to be an apostle. And in this wonderful letter, as we begin, it's going to say Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy unto the church. It's a sweet thing that, you know, God can use us collectively at certain times as well, too. And this was a ministry. There was a oneness and a sweet oneness with these brothers as they were called to put this letter together. Obviously, Paul being the one that we are to follow as he followed Christ. But it just shows you, you know, I hope you understand that this is his ministry. This is our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is his ministry. And we're part of that. And it's part of that by His grace. And these brothers entered into that, not that they were obedient to Paul, but they were obedient to the Lord. And they were used mightily in that. And just to think that, you know, here was little Timothy, that God had a heart prepared there, just a young man, you know, or older boy, whatever you want to say. And God had a heart there that was going to be a benefit, a helper to Brother Paul. Such a mighty man of faith. And that's who God chose. So don't think that God is overlooking you, that you're not useful to God. Let me tell you something. You're His child. You're His vessel. And He wants to pour in you and pour forth the wonderful working power of His Spirit in your life. So as we go on in this, you'll see that there was such a working there. But when they went in to Thessalonica, they preached to both Jews and Greeks, and there were Jews that accepted, and there were many Greeks, it said, that received Paul's message. And he preached from the synagogue as kind of was his doing there, that the Lord had led him. And you'll read about this in Acts 17. And I think what's so precious here is that the unbelieving Jews were very upset and they wanted to come after him. And they made the quote that these guys turned the world upside down. Now, I think that's quite a statement there. And I hope you know that you living the testimony of Christ, and especially the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, you're turning the world upside down. Christ is doing that in us. And I've had Christians kind of shun me a little bit too. They said, well, you're believing too much. And sometimes I would go back to thinking about this. Well, is it kind of turning your world upside down too? It convicts the Word of God. It cuts in there. And this is what's so precious. As I was thinking about that dear sister Lydia, she was somebody that worshiped God. Do you know that? Just like Apollos, he was zealous of the things of God. Listen to the Word and how fortunate you are that God has opened your heart. He's opened your heart to receive this message. Do you know how privileged you are? I'm just telling you, I am so grateful to God for you and for the things that God is bringing to your life. That you have allowed God to open your heart by His grace. You're yielding for this treasure And to me, how could you not see this over and over throughout the Word of God that He wants this? But as the Lord brought to me, it's like the picture within a picture. You know, you can look at something and it has all those shapes and colors and everything. So, well, I can't see it in there, you know. But they say, oh, there's a fish in there or something. And then somebody will point it out and say, well, there's the fish, you know. And every time you look at it after that, it'll just keep jumping out at you. Oh, well, that's the only thing I see. Well, I look in here and I say, the only thing I see is my bridegroom. And it's true. I see it over and over. And that's like it says about Brother Paul. It's throughout all his epistles, just like Brother Peter said of Brother Paul. So wonderful there. But Thessalonica means victory over falsity. And I think how appropriate that is in such a cosmopolitan, really a heathen city. So many received the gospel in this. And I think what's even more precious is that in this letter, or these letters, I should say, as the Lord will lead us, if He tarry, the precious thing is how this young church was so precious to Paul. And even more so, how this young church was so precious to Christ. And as we read through this, you'll not get one mention of correction against these people. There's not one. There isn't. And it's wonderful. And it's wonderful because you're going to breathe a little sigh of relief after our Corinthians study, which was one correction after another correction after another correction. And then you think about the Galatians, how he had to come back to them and said, oh, ye foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Doesn't go on to say this about this sweet church. And the sweetest thing about it is they're writing to Paul, asking questions. They're seeking the right vessel. Boy, that's an important thing too. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. They sought out the ones that knew the Word of God. Seek out the ones that know the Word of God. See, God has given you teachers and He's given you preachers. We don't seek out things just because, well, that's the way I grew up. This is the way I feel. I go to church here because it feels right. Don't go there. You go by faith. And you search the Scriptures to see that those things are so, brothers and sisters. And I don't know how long any of us will be here. I don't. But I know if the Lord tarry, that's what we need to treasure is His Word. And His Word rightfully divided. And the truth that God has given us. And to hold it dear. As the Lord brought that thought, and that was just the Lord's thought, is we have a place where the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is not only preached, and not only believed, but it's cherished. It's cherished. It's treasured more than anything. And again, that's just the grace of God. That's the fervent love of the Spirit. That's a life that is full of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. You shouldn't have, should have every hair on your back of your head standing up on that one. But that's, by the grace of God, how we appreciate what the Lord is doing in us and His sweet people. So, but I believe really one of the greatest jewel here that's found, as it is found in all of Paul's letters, is the underlying and then at times the deafening cry, and we're going to get into these things, of the high calling message. The call to really the first rank overcomers. Brother Copley so sweetly notes that as opposed to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, which was written to the entire church, this one is so much more intimate. It's to the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like the church within the church. It's like the body within the body. He's going after a deeper portion. Isn't that wonderful? It's to all of God's people, but there's only going to be certain ones that receive this message. And I hope if the Lord tarry that we see how these people were so thankful for the Word of God. That they just settled down in the Word. They really just took the simplicity of what the Lord was saying. The depths are endless. We know that. And He'll reveal the layer upon layer to us, brothers and sisters. We don't have to act cerebral in this. If we do, we're going to miss the whole thing. Really. We come up here and we're going to try to spew out great knowledge of the things that we know. It's never going to have the anointing. God has got to do this. And it's wonderful. I'm standing back and watching the handiwork of God, and there's boldness going on in Him. Not boldness in what I know. I'm just bold in what He knows. I'm bold in what He gives me. And that's just been so exciting. I believe we're just cherishing that together. But these wonderful saints, they were encouraged, and as the Word of God says, they followed Paul as he followed Christ. And that word follow is imitate. Now, they weren't imitating a man. I hope you understand this. It's the faith and love. See, that's the whole key here, is that, you know, I've often heard Christians say, well, you're just following a man. You're too Paul crazy. No, I'm crazy about the message. I'm crazy about the faith and the love by the grace of God that was in that vessel, that the Word of God clearly tells me that it wasn't found, in a sense, in the ministry of any other brother or sister in Christ. It was found in Paul. That's how it began. That's how it was told. That's the vessel that God chose. And He wrote that. And the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God, just expounded to us, brothers and sisters, this message that was hid to the sons of men. It was the mystery. The angels wanted to look into it. The worthies of faith, whether it was Daniel, Ezekiel, Isaiah, all of them, they wanted to look into that even further. But it wasn't meant for them. God had a place for those brothers. It is meant for you. Absolutely. That dear sister that I was speaking with today, she said, I just felt that, she said, it was so sweet how to hear this. And it really was. She said, I just felt that I know this truth. I've heard this truth. It's been presented to me over and over, but I just feel like God wasted it on me. I said, now you're to a point that God can deal with you. God doesn't waste it on anybody. And He doesn't. He doesn't throw His pearl among swine. We know that. And brothers and sisters, that's why I'm telling you. You're in a meeting that God has counted you worthy to hear the depth of forever. The highest of the highest calling. The aristocracy of the universe. Most importantly, to win Christ. That's the Word of God. I mean, that is the Word of God. Believe it. Accept it. Cherish it. It will make everything really flee. It will. When we really seize that, the things of this earth are gone. Take this moment. Appreciate it. Because you're going to step out of here and start fighting the good fight of faith in about 35 minutes. Okay? Maybe even shorter than that. But that's what it is, and that's what God is moving in your life, and how privileged we are, brothers and sisters. So, as opposed to the Corinthians and the Galatians, who left the simplicity, they were always looking for something new. We studied that, didn't we? They were always looking for something else. They were not satisfied with Jesus alone. They continued to allow themselves to be led by the flesh. That's exactly what it was. I need sensationalism in my life. I've got to feel something. Let me tell you something. You get in the Holy Spirit, you'll feel stuff you've never felt before. And you know what I'm talking about. It will just continue to bring you to a higher level. And you'll go into depths with Him that you'll say, well, you've taken me to the heights. It was just like we were talking about on Sunday. The splendor of seeing the Grand Canyon from the bottom. My goodness. They say it even gets better at the bottom. I don't know. I haven't been there yet, but I'm going to tell you something. He's going to have to take me to the heights, to the depth, to the breadth, to the length. This is all the love of God, and He's bringing it to us. And so precious that, again, it's His faithfulness that does this. These Corinthians, itching ears, Galatians, itching ears, takes over you. Itching ears will always lead you to destructive paths. You know that? It does. I'm going to go over here and hear a little bit of this, and I'm going to take a little bit of this. Got a very dear Christian friend, and I love him so, and he sent me an email today, and I'm going to tell him I'm going to block it if I hear any more of that nonsense. Well, we got a prayer to a saint. Let me tell you something. I don't care how good that sounds. I don't care how wonderful that feels to you. That's idle idolatry. Know it. Know it. There is but one mediator. I go to one place and you do too, and that's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is it. If there's a saint and they've passed, praise God, they're with Him. But they're not going to do anything for me right now. It's just Jesus. Huh? Working, praise God, that Holy Spirit, His life in us. So let's know these things. So much talk about angels and things of that nature. Don't forget our Hebrew study. You know, don't forget that stuff. You know, these are thoughts that everybody's warm and fuzzy. Let me tell you, warm and fuzzy will take you away from the things of God. It'll I want the blood. You know, people say, oh, that doesn't sound real good to me. Let me tell you something, the blood's the best thing you've ever got.